2 Samuel chapter 21. On Sunday morning, we're studying the life of David in a series entitled The Making of a Psalmist and how God is so faithful to not only provide us with a song and all of the seasons of life, all the highs and lows of life, but it is often those very experiences that He produces a song within us that will be a blessing then to others. We find ourselves in chapter 21, picking things up in verse 15. And when the Philistines were at war with Israel, David and his servants went down and fought against the Philistines. And David grew faint. And then Ishbi-benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, that is Goliath, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. And then the men of David swore to him, saying, "You shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel." Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the privilege of being able to worship you in song. Thank you for the privilege of being able to worship you in the study of your word. How thankful we are that for every verse and every book and every chapter and every line and every jot and every tittle to be worked, Lord, into our lives. How we love what your word does in us, the type of person that you're producing within us, Lord, through your active living word. And we pray that this morning would be a beautiful time of communion with you as we study it together. Meet with us now in your word, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Following the rebellion of Absalom and Sheba in David's life, David would have approximately 10 more years of his life that would be lived in relative quiet. The Philistines would never cease their attack and their uprising, but David is now, by the time we get to this chapter, chapter 21 in 2 Samuel, he is an older man. Certainly by ancient standards, he is about 65 years old. He will live to the age of 70. And David now leads his men, his armies, into battle against the Philistines. And that was not anything new for David or new for his men. That had been David's portion now for decades in his life. But what is new to David is that in the midst of the battle, in the midst of this battle, David's body fails him. In verse 15, in the midst of the battle, the words of verse 15 were told that David grew faint. And up to this point in time in David's life, all he needed to do was to simply think about what it is that he wanted to do physically, and his body would immediately leap to attention. And the transition between the thinking and the doing all of these years of his life was perfectly seamless, perfectly coordinated between the two things. And all of his life, his body has never failed him in battle. It has always brought him success. It has always brought him victory. And David would write of the physical strength that he knew that God had blessed him with when he declared in 2 Samuel chapter 22, he said, "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and he setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms." But here in the midst of this battle, David feels something that he has never felt before, not like this. He feels faint. We're in the midst of the battle where the stakes are so high, where the stakes in battle are life and death. This is what makes war different from every other competition in all of life. There are no timeouts. There are no, you know, another game to play next week. There are no best of four out of seven. There aren't these things out on the battlefield. There is one man who lives and there is one man who dies, and this is the worst place in all of life to have your strength fail you. And that's precisely what happens with David. He faints. And to save his life, he cannot make his body do what it has always done for him, what it has always been for him. And sure enough, a Philistine by the name of Ishbi-Benob, a giant of a man, one of the sons of Goliath, he immediately spots this moment of weakness and vulnerability in David, and he sought to kill David. And David only survives because one of his nephews by the name of Abishai rises up, sees what's happening, comes to David's assistance, and he kills the Philistine before he is able to kill David. And all of the implications of this were not lost upon David's men. If they were lost upon David, all of this led to a necessary change in David's life. Verse 17. And following the battle, following this near miss in his life, where the men that had served with David and loved him all these long decades realized that they came closer than they ever had in their history to leaving that battlefield, even in victory, without their king and without the man who had led them to victory for so many years. And as the word spread of this near miss through the ranks of David's soldiers, and as they heard about this happening to their king, the reaction of David's men was very strong. Notice in verse 17, they swore to him. They removed the decision from his hands. They swore to him, you shall go out no more with us to battle. And then here is their concern, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. At this time in David's life, what he was to them as the lamp of Israel was much more important to them than what he was on the battlefield. And when they speak to David and they declare him to be the lamp of Israel, what they're communicating in that phrase is that he was to Israel what a lamp is to a dark room. He was a source of light for the nation. He was a source of direction and wisdom for the nation, a priceless source of direction and wisdom. He possessed a degree of leadership and of experience that no one else possessed in that nation. And they realized that without him, they would have been in darkness. They would have been leaderless. They would have been deprived of this priceless experience that he brought to the nation, that all of the nation were recipients of that blessing. And God had used David to bring the nation to greatness. And David had a history with God and had a history with the people that no one else had. Israel had literally a million other men that could go into battle and victoriously raise the sword against all of the enemies of Israel, but there was only one among the millions who could be king, and that was David. And I think that it is very important to note here that it was not because he had ceased to be valuable that this change was made, but because he was so valuable to them. These were men that loved David, men who had shown their love for David by fighting at his side for decades and decades. But now, the same love that compelled them to fight for him and to loyally serve him at the risk of their own lives, it is that same love that now compels them to speak directly to him of a change that David must make in his life. And one of the hardest changes in all of life, and that is the changes that are necessitated by age. David attempts to do too much here for too long, but he can't see it. What he could once do physically, he can no longer do without endangering himself and endangering the army and the nation. And very, very often in such a circumstance, it is others who see it long before we do. And David, to his credit, accepted what they were saying. He accepted the fact that physically his best days were behind him. And David needed to accept that. And again, to his credit, he did. I want us to notice several things that the Bible teaches us and that we learn from this passage about growing older. Growing older requires some adjustments in life. Adjustments that aren't always easy, but they are necessary. Solomon wrote in one of the most vivid descriptions of growing older in all of the Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And he spoke and he said, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. The years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened and the clouds do not return after the rain." And then he describes growing older. He said, "It is a day when the keepers of the house tremble." Speaking of a man or a woman's, but he speaks from a man's perspective. When a man's arms and his legs, the things that have kept him in life, now give way to involuntary trembling. "It is a day when the strong men bow down." The strong men, he's referring to the big, broad shoulders of youth, and age has a way of hunching those shoulders over. He said, "When the grinders," that is the teeth, "cease because they are so few, and those that look through the windows grow dim." He speaks of the failing eyesight of age. "When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low," he speaks of the hearing lost, where all of the things that we once took for granted that we would hear for the rest of our lives. Remember, no dentures in those days, no miracles that they're able to do with dentistry today to keep teeth in our mouths, no eyeglasses in those days. To lose these things was to lose them permanently. He says, "Old age is a time when one rises up at the sound of a bird." Earlier in life, able to sleep, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours in a row when the body is exhausted, and now in old age to go to bed and at 4 in the morning when the first bird makes it cheap, and you've only just finally fallen to sleep at midnight and would love to sleep 6 more hours, but a silly bird outside awakens you and up from the bed. "And all of the daughters," he said, "of music are brought low. When the singing voice goes," it's doubly bad when those of us who have never had a singing voice. He said, concerning growing older, also when they're afraid of height. The fear of heights, as we grow older, we grow more unsure of ourselves. And of terrors in the way, there's that increasing sense of vulnerability as we grow older. In our 20s, in our 30s, in our 40s, we can go into situations that look dangerous to us or we're uncomfortable, but we say, "I've got the physical strength to fight or to flee." But as one grows older, those options are so often gone. And there's that sense of how vulnerable I am. I'm not able to protect myself as I once could. He said, "When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden." And so the little things in life, things that used to be so simple, so small, we didn't even notice the almond blossoms. We didn't even notice the grasshopper in the way. Now a grasshopper in our path is a great obstacle. And to grow older is a time in which things that once seemed so small in life now become much bigger for us to handle. Much bigger in our minds. And he said it is a season when desire fails, speaking of the appetites of the body. There was a day in our lives for so many of us when in those teenage years and beyond, you'd see a chair in the living room and you'd just plop down in it. Now we gently ease ourselves into the softest chair we can find in the room. Once you could just leap over walls, and I grew up in what was kind of a rural area, at least it was when I was growing up, in the Napa Valley, and we explored every hill in that valley. We caught snakes, we caught lizards, we caught frogs, we caught everything that we could find, and shot bows and arrows, and did all kinds of things. And there wasn't anything we couldn't leap over, there wasn't any trees we couldn't climb and jump down from and all. And now you grow a little bit older and you climb to the top of a wall or a fence and you think to yourself, what in the world have I done? Can I get back down easier than jumping down? I mean, you look at the side, and now it's just 3 to 4 feet the jump is, and you can already feel the pain in your hips and in your knees. And as a child, you know, even so young, the distance was so much greater. You weren't as heavy, you know, all of us, but never a thought and all, and these things begin to enter into our minds. Earlier in life, all of our movements were silent. Now every movement is accompanied with a groan. Some sound that comes out of our mouth, we don't even realize that it's happening. Every movement accompanied with a corresponding sound. My wife saw a bumper sticker the other day on a car that said, "Growing old isn't for sissies." It's the truth, isn't it? Growing old isn't for sissies. It's a season of life in that in its own way holds some of the greatest challenges of life. But always on the bright side. And the bright side of growing older is to remember that to live long enough to have a body begin to fail is to have lived long enough to have a body begin to fail. It is something that not everyone has the privilege of experiencing. I think number two that we learn from the Bible related to this is that it's important for all ages to understand that God commands that great respect be shown to those who are older. It's interesting that God declared in the law of Moses, the law that he gave that was to be the foundation of the nation of Israel, part of the foundation for the national life of his people. He said in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, "You shall rise before the gray-headed." Not just be polite, but when they entered the room, the younger were to rise. "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God, I am the Lord." And that kind of respect is foundational for any nation that desires to be great. Such respect for the older is seen by God as a mark of their respect for Him. It's interesting that failure on the part of the younger in a nation to show appropriate respect for the elderly is in God's eyes a mark of a decadent society, a society that is headed toward judgment. God spoke through Isaiah the prophet, and God, as he gave his reasons for the coming judgment upon the nation of Israel, declared in chapter 3, verse 5, "The people will be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor, and the child will be insolent toward the elder." I think it's a very wise warning to a society like ours, which is a youth-oriented society or culture. Number three, I think it's important to realize as we grow older, and everyone in this room is growing older, that old age is a season when one becomes more valuable for what they know than what they can do physically. One becomes more valuable progressively for what they know than what they can do physically. David's men do not want him to leave off going into battle because he's not valuable anymore. They want him to leave off going into battle and putting himself in physical danger because his value is so great. He is still the lamp of Israel. You are still the lamp of your family. And over time, David's greatest value to those around him changed, as it does in everyone. And it changed from providing just this pure physical strength to one of providing wisdom to the nation, of providing perspective to the nation, providing a experience for the nation. And this isn't an easy transition for some, but over time it's one that must be made, or we will begin to be prone to think that our usefulness in life is directly proportional to our physical strength, and that is not true. And to believe it to be true is to end up older in complete discouragement and loss of heart. We become more valuable in the Lord as we grow older. It's just the value is demonstrated in different ways. Paul would write of this in 2 Corinthians, and he said, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Number four, old age is a time for godly influence. Rather than sheer physical strength, it is godly influence that becomes the greatest thing that we bring into any circumstance or situation that God brings us into in life. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31, "The silver-haired man is a crown of, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness." God declares, it describes gray hair as a crown. Not just a crown, he describes it as a crown of glory. Now, I think it's very important to take note that it's not age alone that commands this kind of respect, but it's age coupled with godliness. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. When that gray head is coupled with a righteous life and a godly life, I have never known any situation, any gathering of people, to be a lesser thing for the presence of godly older people, godly saints, as they come into a situation and they bring with them a love that is learned over time. They bring a patience to the circumstances of life that is sometimes learned over long decades in life, that one cannot possess in their 20s. They will one day possess it, but they need the influence of it nonetheless. But it hasn't been worked into their life yet, the peace and the wisdom that they bring into circumstances. The time of gray hair is not, as the Bible teaches, it is not a time for retreating from influential places in the church or in the world. From the vantage point of old age, David wrote in Psalm 71, which is a psalm that speaks of old age, he said, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come." David was an older man when he wrote that psalm, but he recognized that he was to remain an influence in the position that God had called him to in the culture for godliness. And I would say to every older person, and of course there are no older people in this congregation, Old people are always a little bit older than whatever we happen to be at the moment. But having qualified it in that way, I would say to anyone who is mostly old here today, do not allow the culture, do not allow the culture to define old age to you. Do not allow this culture to define the position of the older in the culture, the places that we're to take in this culture, to feel that we've been moved out and there's no place for the voice and all of those things. In some cultures, that's still respected. It is not in the United States, so we cannot buy the new definitions. We must believe what God has to say. Let Him define what old age is to be. Stay in the mix. Stay interacting with the culture. Stay involved in your family. Stay involved in your neighborhood. Stay involved in the city, in the church, in the world. Stay influential in the world. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29, Solomon declares, "The glory of a young man, of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head." There is glory associated with both seasons. No one would deny the glory of the season of youth. To have the big muscles and to run forever and never get tired and all of these kinds of things, the energy and all of that. It's a glorious season, and God declares it to be that. But He says, just as equally, so is the season of gray hair when it's properly spent. And how is it to be properly spent? In influencing the next generation. In influencing the world for godliness concerning the things of the Lord. Our greatest asset one day for each of us in this room will no longer be our physical strength, but it will be our experience with God. It'll be our history with Him. It'll be how we have allowed Him to fashion us and to mold us and to teach us in the highs and the lows of life. And then to later in life, bring that testimony and bring that experience into the franticness and the uncertainty that marks so often the life of the young. How valuable is it for an older person to come alongside a young couple or a young man or a young woman or a young employee or a young servant of the Lord and to speak to them and say, what you are in the middle of, you are seeing for the first time in your life. And I have seen it 100 times and lived to tell about it. It looks like the end of the world for you. It looks like there's no hope, no life on the other side of what you're in the middle of. But I tell you, you'll not only survive it today, but you'll survive it every day of your life, and you'll live to tell about it. And one day you'll look back on this season, and while it seems all-encompassing and overwhelming, one day from the vantage point of time, you'll look back and see that it was actually a very small bump in the road. And to have somebody come alongside with that kind of experience and to give that kind of wisdom and to give that kind of perspective, who else can give it? Can a 20-year-old give it to another 20-year-old? No, they're both bathed in the same ignorance, blissful ignorance, but ignorance, nonetheless, they lack the experience. But when an older person speaks it, because they've lived it, it's powerful. I think number 5, it's a time when we need to remember that we need to be under the influence of the Bible and the influence of the Word of God more than ever and not less. And it is a tendency and many as they grow older to move away from being steeped in the Scriptures and learning the Word and growing in the Word and growing in their relationship every single day. It can come a time in life where someone can say, I've read the Bible a million times, I've been raised in the church, I've heard sermons on every passage within the Bible, I know it frontward, I know it backwards, but you're in a different season in life now. And you need the perspective that it gave you in your youth and in your middle years. You need it to bring the same experience, the same perspective and all to you now, the same hope that it brought to you. Now to bring that hope now in this new season in life. That tendency to spend less time in the Word, because you say, well, it's there and God can bring it to my remembrance. It's a great mistake. And Peter wrote in 1 Peter, and he said, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, falls away, just as the human body does. But the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. I think of the Apostle Paul at the very end of his life and his final imprisonment when he writes that letter just months from dying. And he's in that Mamertine prison, that Roman prison. And winter is coming. And he writes to Timothy and he says, Timothy, would you send Mark? And could he bring a cloak for me? The winters are so cold here and I don't have the garments for it. And then marvel of marvels, Paul said, and would you send the parchments with him? To send the scrolls, the writings of the Bible. And you would look at Paul and say, Paul, you have only months to live before they take your head off you. Why not just relax? I mean, you know the Word. God has used you. Look at the history that you have with God. Just chill related to these things. But he had a hunger for the Word of God and to be growing in his relationship until the day they took his head from him. And it's a wonderful example. The psalmist testified to it too. In Psalm 92, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. They have a new thing going on in their life with God all the way to the end, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. It's important exhortation to keep growing in our relationship with the Lord. And number six, it's important that we learn from David not to wait too long to make the changes in our life that are inevitable as our body begins to fail us. Moses lived 120 years and he died in the fullness of his strength. That is the portion of some, praise the Lord. But it's not everyone's portion. And it wasn't David's portion. And I think that like David, most of us are usually hesitant to accept the adjustments that growing older requires. And like David, we resist them and we resist them and we resist them until a major crisis in our life forces us to face that area of our life is deteriorating and that changes need to be made in our life. That's precisely what happened to David here in chapter 21. So often it takes a near miss while driving the car. And you look and you get through the thing and all of a sudden you realize I've driven I don't know how far and I don't even know that I'm driving a car. Or some near miss through the intersection or something like that. And so often we just keep on going and going until some kind of a crisis occurs, some fainting, some breakdown emotionally or physically under the weight of a workload under the weight of pressure that we've been able to carry all of our life, but now in this season we can't do what we once could do physically, and all of a sudden now it's too much, we're not able to bear it. And even when the fainting or the crisis occurs, it often requires some larger group of people who love us to sit down with us and to help us to face our new realities. That's what they had to do with David. David couldn't see it, or he wasn't willing to accept the slip in his physical abilities here. And because he didn't, he forced those who loved him most to speak up to him. And more than speaking up, with great affection and with great respect, to put their foot down with him. Those kind of transitions aren't easy, but ultimately they are inescapable and must occur if we are to live long lives. And finally, number 7, notice that for all of its challenges, this season in life, this old age, is a time to realize that what God has been to us all the days of our life, He will always be. As His promises were yea and amen, all through our youth and all through the middle years, so His promises will be yea and amen in the older season in our life. In Psalm 37, David declared, "I have been young, and now I am old." I love that line. "Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." Growing older is a time in life where there is that ever-increasing sense of my vulnerability in life, as that physical power and strength, as it ebbs, and David felt it in his life. But he knew that through it all, God was for him, and that God would be faithful to him in every season in his life. And God was, and God is. There's not a single person in this room, as you walk with the Lord and serve the Lord, that is loved less by God than God loved David. He loves you every bit as much and will be faithful to every promise that He has given, so that the latter years of our life might be one where, again, as the psalmist wrote over and over again in the book of Proverbs, that we might testify to His faithfulness, not just in the early seasons of life, but in the seasons when we know more than ever how vulnerable we are and how great and how perfect and strong His strength is made, even in our weakness. Thank you, Lord, for this passage. And thank you for the lessons that are found here. Important lessons, Lord, in our life. And here, as we live in this, not just this world, but this crazy nation that is completely, completely youth-oriented, and there is such a lack of respect, Lord, or appreciation of those who are older. There's that tendency within our lives to think that our season of influence is over. But Lord, we read in Your Word that it's just beginning. And I pray, Lord, for those that are older, that know You in this room this morning, that You would give them vision, Lord, for all of the places in their family and in this church, Lord, in this city and beyond, where their influence is desperately needed. And Lord, we also pray for each one that is older, that today this passage would be a great encouragement to them, to your faithfulness, Lord, in every season in life. We follow the exhortation of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes that youth is the time to come to know you and to draw close to you and to walk close to you all the days of our life, so we might bring this testimony into old age and have the assurance, Lord, that what you have been, you will always be in our life. Thank you for that assurance, Lord. Thank you that you do get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over again. Thank you, Lord, that you are our portion. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.